irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with California's millennial gone good, Justin Nimmergood.
Oh, Bruce, so kind. I appreciate when you say that.
I was going to give you dual citizenship, but I didn't know if you wanted dual citizenship with Texas or not.
You know what? I actually would appreciate that. Listen, you can't ever forget your roots, right?
Next week, I'll process your application with ICE, and we'll get you your dual citizenship next week here on the show. Well, folks, we have a wonderful guest with us today. It's going to be a fun ride, so strap in and get ready to hear some very fun, interesting, and straightforward insights from Recovery Out Loud and Martha Duke from Manhattan. How's it going? Good afternoon.
Hi! It's going well. I'm just sitting here staring at my skyline view.
Boy,
and my company is Recover Out Loud, LLC.
Sorry, Recover Out Loud. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on some Bermuda grass trying to die, but not quite what you got going on out there in Manhattan. So, well, thank you for coming on to the show today. And, you know, I'm always glad to bring on folks to the show that are really making a difference out there. And you certainly are doing that. You're welcome with your story and what you're doing on social media. So if you could just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and the recovery piece and where you are, and we'll get into other matters here. Yes.
So basically, as far as my only real problem I ever had, I mean, I've tried everything. Pretty much everything under the sun. Never tried heroin. But I guess they scared me enough in DARE. I grew up in Kentucky, small town. So, you know, it's just a lot of farm parties, drinking, hanging out. So I started drinking around the age of 14 and stuff. Alcohol was one thing that kind of stuck with me. There were signs and stuff that there was a problem earlier in my life, but it was around the time my father passed, so everybody kind of brushed it off as like a phase, I guess. And I have two children. I'm a single mom. I have a 15-year-old and an 11-year-old, and so I'm 34, so I had my first child at 18. When I graduated from college, I moved to Manhattan, and part of that was I wanted to get as far away from Kentucky as humanly possible. Wasn't happy there, but got to New York, and I, you know, just started my crazy Manhattan adventure, and it's like, it's been nuts, and, you know, I partied a lot and stuff, but it really caught up with me about 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years ago in November. I was walking down the street and I had been drinking and I tripped over a curb and a police officer stopped me. And of course they called ACS. ACS got involved. Decided that they were going to put me through all these drug tests, everything. And ACS in New York is a lot stricter than most states. And they really came down on me. And I kind of realized I had a problem when I couldn't stop drinking for a drug test. And that was kind of, when you're trying to dodge tests and stuff, that's kind of a, like, eye opener. And yeah, when you're like, oh, they just tested me today, I could probably drink today, and then like they won't call me again for 4 days. And so basically all that, then my mom came to stay with me, which my mom's a lunatic and drives me insane. And I just was going through all of that. And Christmas time last year, I had to spend Christmas by myself, and I normally do spend it by myself, but this time was different. And I was so broken, and I was just so beaten down that I did something I never do. I never was one to go to the liquor store. Never really kept alcohol in my house because I was raised a good Southern Baptist girl and we don't keep alcohol in the house. And I went and I got 2 bottles of tequila, polished them off, and took every pill in my house. And I woke up sometime around New Year's and just made a decision right that second that I was going to actually get sober. And took control of my life. I broke ties with members of my family that were toxic. I broke ties with friends who were toxic. I just started focusing on my kids. And, you know, just instantly things started getting better. Relationships got better. Relationships with my children got better. And then as the social media aspect came when I was probably 3 months sober, I started finding different pages on Instagram and engaging with the sober community. And that's where I found my support. That's where, because when I, you know, told my friends I was going to quit drinking, they were like, great, that's awesome. But they didn't want to hang out with me. When I told the moms at the school that I quit drinking, they go, oh my gosh, how are you going to not drink wine? So that was a shocker when I was like, wow. I think you can parent without wine.
So
Instagram connection started growing, and I, you know, almost 5,000 followers now, and I love spreading the word.
That's good that, and I'm a newcomer to the recovery community that's out there on Instagram, just even folks like you, you know what I mean? That are moms, sober, mm-hmm. moms, sober, so bright, sober is sexy. I mean, just on and on and on the hashtags go, right? And I was kind of looking at some of those. I'm like, holy cow. I mean, there's thousands of people out there on Instagram. And I think that's kind of cool because you can scroll through your news feed and see some pretty positive stuff. I want to rip off that one about my drug of choice is coffee, right? And it had that man's face.
Yeah.
I
make all my own content. So what's crazy is I get people message me all the time, like asking me, you know, how did you get followers? How did you get, you know, how did you build your social media presence? And I have built my social media presence on honesty, on using my own voice, on picking a message and sticking to it. I make my own content. Sometimes the post is something silly about unicorns. Sometimes it's a meme, a Prince meme. I love my Prince memes because I love Prince.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's a picture of me in the middle of a panic attack. You know, I just want to show all aspects of recovery and, you know, being in recovery as a mother.
Dude, Justin, man, she had this picture of a sloth riding a unicorn holding a piece of pizza. That's so I about had a freaking seizure, bro. I'm like, what the hell came up with that? That genius, bro. I mean, seriously, like, unbelievable. And it looks better than even the words. So
That's the name of the game.
Well, I Google
chaos,
a lot.
Right?
Man, unbelievable.
I Google a lot. Yeah. It's like my Google images search is pretty like random. Like, I don't know. I had the whole Halloween pinup thing. I like the one where it's like with the witch. And it said, I was something about riding the broom.
Right, right.
Right.
Let's get into the heat of the matter. Now, the things that, you know, that you've encountered as a woman, right, in the recovery mm-hmm. space, as a mom, you've encountered mm-hmm. a lot of different things that I think I want to have a discourse on. I want to have you commentate on. First off, and you know, sadly, I go to Target a lot, not because I like companies that are run by the Minnesota ladies, just because it's close to my office. But you're so spot on about all these shirts, man, about wine and wine time, and so kind of talk about how that's kind of almost hate speech or almost a negative thing for a lot of women.
So one of the first things I noticed when I, you know, first became a part of the Instagram recovery scene was one of the biggest gripes that women had was just shirts with about wine time. And one said, my kids whine, I whine. There was one that was a onesie that said, I'm the reason my mom drinks. I mean, it's just like, it's everywhere. And yes, when I drink, I find some of it was funny. Like, there were some shirts that said, like, no way, rosé, and that's kind of funny. But when you see it everywhere, I mean, absolutely everywhere, and there is a plethora of women who just take these pictures and they post them on Instagram, and it's almost like this concept of wine culture and that women are constantly, and we should have wine, and we need to get together and have wine, and we need to paint and wine. You're just like, get over it. And I'm from the South. I wasn't even a wine drinker. I was like, give me some bourbon. But even my friends who do drink are appalled by wine culture because it's so pervasive and it's so dangerous. And people don't realize the dangers of it because you could have a woman who gets to get, you know, you get together on Friday nights and everybody drinks wine and has their wine time and stuff. And I know for me in particular, I would go meet my friends and then I would just go to another bar and stay out. It's not like everybody knew I had a problem.
Right.
And so it becomes something that is actually very easy to hide, you know? And then I'll give you a really good example. A girlfriend of mine back home, I get a call from my best friend, and she says to me, you know, so-and-so is losing her kids. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, she's losing her kids. And something happened to the point to where she didn't drop the son off for a visitation appointment with the dad, and so they did a well check and found her with, like, it was something crazy, like 6 or 7 times the legal limit of alcohol with her 2 children, one of which is an infant.
Oh.
And they took her kids, they offered her rehab and everything, and the poor thing is absolutely miserable. And she had a lot of the same annoyances that I had, in that she was like, she would go to meetings, these meetings they told her to go to, and they were all men, and they were all people who were like on meth and crack and stuff like that. And it's like, what are you, I understand the concept that we all have the same disease, but women and drinking to me needs to be handled differently than some things, because I believe women drink for different reasons, especially when you're a mother. Just the sheer isolation of being a mother on its own can be maddening at times. And if the only way to get people to hang out with you is to show up with a bottle of wine, then you're willing to do it.
Right.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, you know, and it's, and I wonder, by the way, something as you're talking there, you know, comes to mind, and obviously being from New York, I wonder how much of the Sex in the City culture kind of has played out in society.
We're over that. We were over that 10 years ago. But no, as far as, so there was this whole thing where it became, you know, this boldly feminist move to go and drink like the guys, and I can go out. And I always prided myself on I could go out like the guys, and I don't need a man. And I, you know, I am the most feminist of the feminists. Like, I in high school, I was drinking college football players under the table, you know, and, I think, you know, that did start it, but this wine thing kind of crept up on it. I wish I could pinpoint the thing that happened that made it acceptable, but I really can't. It feels like this thing that just kind of showed up. And, you know, Kathy Lee and Hoda are sitting there with a glass of wine on their show at 9 a.m.
That's true.
And that's disgusting to me. They make it look like it's fun and cute, and that's what girls do when they get together. Just girls' time. And I read a very interesting article where a woman quit drinking for a year. She was in corporate America, and she said that after all of the, you know, corporate events and stuff, the women would all go drink together, and it would be like, oh, this, we need this because of all this toxic masculinity we have to deal with. And, oh, we need this wine. We need this wine. This is our time. Like, it kind of reminds me of the old Virginia Slim commercials.
Right.
Or like advertisements, you know? Like, it's like, oh, it's your time. It just, it became, and I work in marketing, and I'm a brand specialist, and I have been for 10 years. And I can, with all honesty, say that everyone who has fallen into the trap of wine culture has just increased somebody else's bottom line. Because they needed a way to normalize and push alcohol to sell more of it. I mean, you could buy rosé in a can.
That's true, right?
Like
a wine bag, wine bag thing going down here in Texas in the
box. Wine box, box, yeah. Wine as well.
Oh, what about this thing, the purse where you put the Franzia in the purse and it has a spout so you can carry your wine with you everywhere?
Oh, wow. That's really innovative. Good for them. They've thought of it all.
Yeah. Wait, the idea now, you know, my last blog post was about how wine culture is robbing us. It's actually taking away much needed things that, you know, us as, especially mothers, need. You know, you're stuck with I've read single mom, two kids all day. I stay at home. I work for myself, but I stay at home. It gets very isolating. And if the only form of community you can find is a wine and paint night, then that's pretty bad. And then on top of that, I believe we've replaced self-care with drinking, because wine is not self-care.
Good point.
And the idea that it's self-care for me to drink a bottle of wine before bed is outrageous. I mean, how is that exactly taking care of yourself? You're just going to wake up the next day feeling like crap. I mean, like, and the thing is, I don't want to bash people who can responsibly drink. I don't want to say, hey, you know, I have a friend who maybe drinks twice a year. Go her. Like,
right,
but
right.
You know what? She got mom shamed because she went to a bachelorette party and some pictures were taken and it was put on Facebook. And then when she went to, you know, there was a court hearing about, child support and stuff. That was brought up in the court hearing, saying she travels and parties all the time because she went to one bachelorette party in a year. So that brings another point that I try to get across, is a lot of women, especially with children, are terrified to go and seek treatment, because when a man seeks treatment, it's considered like, oh, isn't he such a good man? I'm so glad he took control of his family and his life, and he's doing what he's supposed to do. But a woman, when she goes and seeks treatment, she, especially a single mother, she's risking custody of her children.
Right, just because the stigmas.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, you don't get a round of applause. I sit there, I tell people I quit drinking, I'm in recovery. The first thing they ask me is, what did you do? And I'm like,
I beat
my kids up. But that's literally like their first question. It's like, what did you do? And it was like, I was drunk and walking with my kids. I mean, that wasn't like, you know, I didn't throw them in front of a bus or something.
Now, if you're going to work with somebody, and in the capacity of a coach, what do you think some of the struggles some of your coaching clients might have?
I can tell you, I mean, for everybody has different triggers, right? For me, I can easily go in a bar and have a cup of coffee or a glass of water and not be bothered. Some people can't do that.
Can't even go really quick before we go into it, but that was kind of controversial,
yeah.
Right? Standing in a bar, she's wearing, you're wearing business attire, standing in a bar, but you're kind of challenging that, like, oh, you can't be in recovery and be going into a bar and drinking coffee. Are you kidding? So yeah, talk about that a little bit. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I took a picture. I was in between meetings and I was kind of running around the city, and there's a really nice Italian show, and I had 30 minutes to kill. So I popped in, sat down at the bar and ordered a cappuccino. I took a picture of my cappuccino and a picture of me. And I, you know, made a meme that said, bars serve coffee too. And I got a lot of backlash on that, on, you know, I shouldn't be in a bar. How can you go to a bar if you're in recovery? Why are you in a bar? That's a slippery slope. And it's just like, good Lord. Like, I had 30 minutes to kill. I didn't really feel like sitting on a bench. Like,
and every time,
and it was a really good cup of coffee.
Like, there's more bars than coffee places in Manhattan, right? Every
yeah. Time. What a lot of people don't understand is that they hear even the delis serve alcohol.
Right.
Like, I'm really the only two places that don't no, Starbucks now sells beer. So Starbucks says beer is juice bars. So unless I want to hang out at vegan juice bars all the time, I kind of like don't have a choice. I got to figure out how to live with it. But the backlash was just crazy. It was like, oh my gosh, I needed to kill it. And I'm not saying I was in that position 6 months ago.
Right.
Like when I first got clean, I would not wear nice clothes. I would only wear gym clothes because every time I got dressed up, I felt the need to go out. So I like intentionally dressed like a hobo for 6 months.
And that protected you somehow?
Yeah, I'm not going to go. Well, I always went to really like ritzy places. I'm not going to go into the St. Regis in my gym.
That's a good point.
Clothes. Like, but I've talked to other women who said they did the same thing. It was like every time, you know, if they put on a nice dress and heels, they felt like going out, you know, like it's time to get out. Fitness was a big part of my recovery too. I encourage anybody to get some sort of fitness routine, even if it is just 30 minutes of cardio in the morning. It doesn't have to, I'm not saying go get jacked or anything like that, but I think it's really great to establish sobriety and to calm your mind to adopt some kind of physical regimen. But the other thing that's I hear the most from the people I work with now is a lot of women, first of all, you're facing isolation, and that's true. That's true for everybody. I didn't say that's true across the board. But with women, especially single mothers and mothers in general, our time is more limited. So when people are like, oh, just go to a meeting, you're like, okay, well, my kid has wrestling practice till 7. The other one gets home at 4. And I get there every hour on the hour, but, you know, I can't just wander around the city popping into meetings every 2 hours. Like, figure it out. But one of the things I did do was I looked up like sober events and things like that, and I try to work some of that in. This past weekend I went to the Real Festival, which was a film festival for sober movies about like movies about sobriety. So there's things out there to do. You just gotta kind of look for them. I have noticed that a lot of women they complain to me about judgments, even in AA. And it's normally judgments from other women. That's the part that really pisses me off. Because, Bruce saw my last rant on Instagram, and my last rant on Instagram was basically a friend of mine who is a gorgeous blonde, beautiful body, just all around amazing woman, raised 2 great children, she's going back to school, she's in recovery, she's an amazing example. Some other account, she posted a picture of her shopping and had one of my shirts on because I sell apparel as well. And she made a lighthearted joke calling her husband a sugar daddy. She's like, oh, my sugar daddy took me shopping. But like as a joke. And if you like know her or pay attention to her, you know that that was her husband. But some account was like, you're a horrible representation of sobriety, and you shouldn't you know, you shouldn't rely on a man, and how can you call yourself sober when now you're just addicted to things? Like, they were into her.
Wow.
Because she made a sarcastic joke about, fairly certain they've been and so me being me, like, I, like, when I see injustice, I gotta say something.
So is it,
and I
feels like women are tougher than men in terms of building fellowship inside the recovery community. Sounds like everybody's kind of even more vigilant sometimes on stuff.
This whole thing, and that, you know how you mentioned, like, the hashtag sober is sexy thing. That is an important hashtag, honestly, because the whole word sober puts this stigma in people's minds that, you know, you're almost like,
your life
you're
is over.
Dowdy or something, or your life is over. You're not going to be funny anymore. You're not going to be sexy, or you're not. And I've posted my before and after pictures of when I was drinking and how I look now. And I look damn good now, and I'm going to show it off. Right. I didn't put in this work not to show it off. But right. Also, don't call me not sober or act like then because I look better than you. Like, this is rude. Like, I'm not mean to people because they're ugly. They'll be mean to me because I'm pretty. It sounds like an asshole thing to say, but it's the truth.
So if you weren't pretty, you could get along. It'd be easier to get along. People, you wouldn't be such a target.
I think so. Every time I've tried to go to a women's meeting, I get pretty much like attacked, and it's this misconception that, like, my life's been perfect, you know. The last time I was going to meetings, I would actually dress down and take all my jewelry off before I went in, and it wasn't because I thought anybody was going to mug me or anything, but you know, they see all my problems as luxury problems. But they don't realize I grew up in an abusive household. I'm a domestic violence survivor. I've survived childhood sexual trauma. My father passed when I was 18. Like, you know,
Wow. With
my life story, it would be easy for me to say, yeah, to be in a gutter with the needle in my arm, and people would be like, oh, that makes sense. Like, but I didn't choose that path. So, you know, but I have a lot of people that, you know, get the wrong perception about me. And but what I was saying about my rant, with my rant after that, you know, I told the people off. I was like, you know, this is a strong woman. That's her husband. Like, do your research before you attack somebody. And so I made a Instagram live video just to let everybody know that my company, Recover Out Loud, is all inclusive. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you make your money. I don't care. I don't care if you have a sugar daddy. I don't care if you have a husband. I don't care if you're a single mom. All I want is to see sober, happy people. And I want to see fellowship between women who lift each other up. Because we face so many problems every day. Just being a woman, and then you add recovery on top of that.
Right. And talk about the mom factor.
We don't need to make it harder on each other.
How is the mom factor? How is that? Just sounds like that in itself also. Just there's being sober, then there's being a woman, now there's being a mom. So talk a little bit about some of the challenges with that.
Well, with being a sober mom, one of the things I found out is, you know, as I said, I have my sober, my apparel line. I have two sober mom tank tops, and I have a shirt that says sober, sassy, sober, sexy. But the sober mom shirts, I made those kind of as a FU to the wine culture. So it's kind of like if you're fed up with wine culture, you could buy a shirt. But I had messages from women who, it's so crazy, but they were closeted recovering alcoholics.
Okay.
Like they were hiding their recovery from all of their family. They're like, they're messaging me saying, you know, there's no pictures of me on here because I don't want anybody to know.
Wow.
And so that's how I kind of came with the recover out loud part. Like that's where the out loud part came. And I actually shipped a shirt all the way to Belgium for this woman who had been sober almost a year and nobody outside of her husband knew.
Wow.
And she thought that wearing my shirt would be a great way to let people know that she was sober. But it took her a year to, like, come out of the closet about it. I had a woman message me about coaching. And I, you know, it just got to the point where she just realized her wine a night was turning into all the time, and her husband worked till 8 o'clock every night, so he had no idea what she was doing all day. And you know, it's easy to hide it, but the fact that women would hide their recovery blew my mind. But I'm such an outspoken person, I couldn't imagine doing that. But I want to remove the shame and stigma of being in recovery and of just making the decision to live a happier, healthier, better life.
Now, I noticed part of your title is Sober Coach and Entrepreneur. I know you have your clothing line. Tell us about your entrepreneurial efforts that...
Well, I've always kind of worked for myself, and I was head of marketing for Penthouse Magazine, so that's kind of cool. So I worked at a few places. I got, you know, marketing knowledge, sales knowledge, but I was a born entrepreneur. I was like in fourth grade, I'd make jewelry and take it to school and sell it. In high school, I would make Sadie Hawkins shirts to like make extra money. I was always hustling. I've always been a hustler. And it was kind of, you know, when I got sober, I kind of turned my money-making life upside down. Because I was like, how am I going to do business meetings anymore? And I was doing marketing for nightclubs, and you know, there was so much drinking involved in what I was doing. I was like, I'm never gonna make money again. It's like, my life's over. I mean, that was my biggest fear, was like, I'm never gonna make money again. It's like, my livelihood's gone. And you know, I had a boyfriend at the time, and he was kind of like, you know, we'll get through this. Like, you'll figure something out. And that's when it just hit me. I was on Instagram, and I was seeing all this outrage about wine shirts. And I was like, why don't I make something that's the opposite?
Right.
And I saw a need and decided to fill that need.
What were some of the words or messages that you used on your clothing?
Well, I have two workout yoga tank tops. that say sober mom, but one's pink and a little more ladylike, and the other one's gray and a little more hardcore. But my big thing as far as my apparel line is I wanted it to have high quality fabric, clean lines, you know, a lot of recovery apparel. Looks like you're about to join a biker gang.
What do you mean?
I don't understand it. Like, I get the whole, like, oh, I'm a badass in recovery vibe and stuff, but I looked at sober apparel and didn't see a single thing I would ever wear. And I was like, you know what? There's got to be something for the classy ladies out there.
All right. We'll see
so
filling an unmet niche there, the classy ladies in recovery that can also, you know, speak to their recovery or sobriety and not compromise the design.
Yeah. Well, and then I made one for everybody that says sassy, sober, sexy. And it's kind of like a little off-the-shoulder black flouncy top. It's very cute. It's very cute. I also made a candle that says the only thing getting is this candle. So, but I'm always... But right now, a lot of the coaching stuff has really took a front seat to the apparel line.
Okay.
Just as my presence has grown and stuff like that, I'm a little more focused on, you know, the blog and getting the message out.
Maybe tell us about your favorite engagement thus far with one of your clients and why it's your favorite or what unique problems specific to sobriety that you've helped them kind of overcome.
I had a funny one the other day. So a girlfriend of mine referred me somebody and she was like, you know, Martha, can you talk to my friend? You know, she thinks she's an alcoholic. And she sent me screenshots of the message she sent her. I read three sentences of it, and I was like, yeah, she's an alcoholic. Like, I didn't need six paragraphs to know, you know? I was like, I didn't read the whole thing.
You could name that.
The second you start asking yourself, am I an alcoholic?
Name that tune.
Probably
yeah.
Are. So I call her. And I was like, hey, you know, I just gotta see what's going on with you. So and so told me to give you a call. And she starts telling me, you know, I've been drinking a lot at night and it's getting out of control. And then she goes, it got really bad last week. My husband was on the boat. And if you're in Kentucky, a lot of women have husbands who, you know, work on the boats and stuff. So they'll be gone 30 days back, 30 days or gone 2 weeks back a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she was like, he was gone for a week. And she's like, I got blackout drunk every night. And I just told her, I was like, honey, consider yourself lucky. I said, God forbid something had happened to one of the children or the house that burned down or, you know, something because, you know, that gets you in a lot of trouble. And she goes, oh my God, I didn't think about that. And then she goes, I just can't figure out how to tell my husband. And I go, and I knew right away, I said to her, I said, you don't want to tell him because he's been telling you that you're an alcoholic for months now. And she goes, you're so right. And I go, yeah, you're going to eat a lot of crow. I was like, get prepared. I was like, because every person that ever said you should stop drinking is going to remind you that they said you should stop drinking. So I said, you need to just suck that one up. And then I told her, I said, hey, just tell him mid-blowjob. I said, he could say anything during a blowjob.
There you go.
And she
oh, the power of a woman.
Well, I said, like, is it... I had one of my friends. friends, one of my best Instagram friends, she posted something about her husband. And then put after it, I said, I'm super single and in no way qualified to give marriage advice. Wait, that's like the best. As far as marriages, I'm like, oh, I'll give him a blowjob. But, you know, I'm pretty good when I do interact with my clients and I do talk to them. I think I like to approach things in it. Like serious way, but also like bring a bit of like humor and sarcasm to it, because I personally feel we beat ourselves up so much, and especially as a parent, you know, I regret every time my kids saw me drink. I regret getting too drunk at dinners. I mean. There's things I've done I'm not even really ready to admit to my therapist. It's just, there, you carry so much shame for what you've done and worry that I don't think people need to be beat up anymore. Because like I said, I'm my harshest critic. And I know what I did. And I think that a good coach and a proper coach can come in and say, okay, let's address it. What are we going to do different? Because you can't live in that shame. If you live in that shame, you're never getting anywhere. So that's why my motto is just live your truth. What? Be honest about where you're at, where you want to go, and where you've been.
As women or moms and or moms in recovery, what are some of the self-limiting thoughts, big ones that a lot of women struggle with?
Well, I mean, there's just that overwhelming fear that you screwed your kids up.
All right.
You know, and like there's this no going back feeling. Like, can I really fix what I did? And I think sometimes we make it worse, you know, in our own heads. But you watch shows like Intervention and they're sitting there crying. They're like, my mom never really loved me. My dad was drunk all the time. And then like I said, if anybody used Intervention as a basis for my life, I should be dead in a gutter. So, you know, the truth of the matter is, kids are resilient. My children are so proud of my recovery. I've made my children a big part of my recovery. There's been a lot of, I'm sorry's, but I don't overdo it. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, mommy had a problem. Or,
right.
And I let the kids know how they can help me. You know, if I'm feeling overwhelmed or triggered, I just tell them I need a minute. And they understand that, you know, what that means. Because, you know, women, mothers have a tendency to take on too much. We just do. And I think especially mothers in recovery need to learn to step back a little bit. And, you know, if your house is dirty, your house is dirty. Like, don't work yourself up.
Exactly. Well, we got to... Got to wind it down here. We're inside of 2 minutes left, and I want to make sure that our listeners know all the ways in which they can follow you with your website, your blog, your Instagram. So go ahead and lay it all out for our listeners on how they can get a hold of
you. Okay. Here's the full-on pitch. Follow me on Instagram, and my handle is @ Recover Out Loud LLC. And let's see, I don't really use Facebook. My website is recoveroutloudonline.com, and that has my blog and my apparel line.
Okay.
And you'll find the most information to reach me on the Instagram page. So, again, that's Recover Out Loud, LLC. And you get to see awesome memes. And
yes. Get to see a whole...
We don't... Well, I like I said, I like to keep it light, you know? It's such a stressful thing getting sober in the first place. Why not have some fun?
Exactly. And you do a good job of cataloging that on the Instagram. So, yeah, I second that. The blog's a good read, but also your Instagram posts are fantastic. And it's just
a lot
of fun. And it is like looking through a scrapbook of your mind. So it is that's been a lot of fun. So, all right. before we wrap up, anything out from California?
No, this has been wild. This has been fun. Everything advertised as promised, and as someone who's recently taken the sobriety journey myself about 7 months ago, I commend you and all the work that you're doing for a much needed market out there. So keep it up, Martha.
Thank you. I do think that women are underserved in the recovery community, but hopefully we can change that sometime soon.
Absolutely.
One account at a time. So, folks, that's...
Yes, one account at a time.
There you go. I had to throw that in there. So, folks, that's a wrap for this week on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Remember to see us on Facebook at Concierge Coaches Show. We have our Instagram. I think it's Concierge Coaches, right, Justin? I think it is. Anyway, we have a fresh...
No, it's the Concierge Coaches.
Yes.
And the same with LinkedIn as well, by the way, which are both now up and active.
Yes, LinkedIn is up and active, and our company page and our Instagram, the Concierge Coaches, not to be confused with the other ones, but the Concierge Coaches. And we are out there and gaining momentum as well. So with that, we'll bid everybody a great afternoon, and we'll see y'all and everybody here next week on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Until then, have a great week. Take care.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.